We promise that over the next 25 minutes of podcast magic, we will try to avoid any mention of milk commercials or indeed Ian Rush.
Celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
Quite right, too. Yes, it's our cup special because the March to the Arch, see what we did there, Rob?
Oh, I like
March
that.
To the Arch, yes, exactly, is emerging in wonderful ways. And that team that was indeed the subject of a milk commercial and indeed Ian Rush back in the day. All right, Harrington Stanley,
yes.
Say no more, are actually about to be introduced to the Riverside. Have you played Harrington Stanley?
Yes.
Yes, I, yes.
We lost.
Yes.
Not that many years ago, League Cup first round.
Of course, exactly. But, you know, it's a whole new ball
game. It's a whole new ball game.
Exactly, and things will be well. We'll be looking today, clearly, ahead, but looking back as well. I'm just a little bit concerned with respect to clearly the new manager at Swansea City, Mr. Clement, and even Mr. Silver at Hull City.
Yes.
I think Mr. Moyes hopefully has given up the ghost and decided to sort of just say, let's go with that. But there's just a ten. I mean, on the plus side, only one point behind the champions, so that's not bad, really, you know, in terms of the league form. Must be frustrating, the last two games, 1 point out of six.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to actually sort of got, I mean, the Watford game first in terms of that.
Yeah, well, actually, we were looking at going into January thinking that we actually had the games in front of us against the opposition to move a big gap between us and the bottom three. We drew 0-0 with Leicester right at the start. It seems a long time ago now, but it was January. Mm. And then Watford, that again was an opportunity. It was an emotional game because of Graham Taylor and everything around it. But we had more of the possession, drew 0-0 again, of course.
I mean, I was going to ask you about that, because clearly that was the first weekend of the whole sort of package, and clearly Graham Taylor's line. I mean, initially I thought, oh, a lot of these journalists who once had him as a vegetable have sort of clearly changed their tune in terms of the approach. But that's life, I suppose. In terms of that particular feeling, I mean, Watford, I mean, I suppose really second only to Lincoln City, maybe Aston Villa. Those would be the three clubs that really he's most connected with.
Yeah, I think most people. Yeah,
the Wolves, of course, obviously.
Obviously, he achieved great things at Lincoln, taking them, getting that promotion, record points haul from what was then the fourth division.
Very
wasn't
nearly,
it?
They went from fourth to the third to the second, actually, in consecutive years, and that was, and then they effectively moved on. And ironically, he did with Watford what I think many people thought he could possibly have done with Lincoln, had other things sort of developed.
Yeah, well, he sort of got aligned with Elton John as a chairman, so that's what you needed for that next stage. You needed the money and the drive off the field. And at Watford, he created a first division team that finished at runners up in the old first division, which is the Premier League now. Also got into Europe, FA Cup final. Obviously, they lost, but also created a legacy of a family club.
And the
great thing about what we saw is that celebration was that family club was still there, even though it's gone into Italian ownership, etc. It's
definitely
was still there.
Change the manager each year in many ways.
Yeah, they do, but the essence of that family club was still there in the way that the fans approached it, and just the whole atmosphere around that day.
And you mentioned a really important thing, the fans. Little shameless plug for, I suppose, our cousin podcasts in London with Middlesbrough Supporters South.
Yes.
Be interested to see whether they also talk about this. Eitor's been a bit critical recently, and in particular West Ham game, about the fans and various other things, and maybe reminding them about where things are going. It's always a delicate situation in that sort of instance, isn't it?
It's a balancing act. We remember going back a decade, just Steve McLaren made comments about when we were in Europe, about educating the fans, which didn't go down very well.
Let's not talk about the Wee Gordon scenario.
No, we weren't exactly. He had a different sort of education.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it is difficult. At the West Ham, we've talked about Leicester, Watford, and really winning against West Ham would have made those points gained. But losing against West Ham, it was a critical game, and it made those points lost. Yeah. And maybe Aitor Karanka is caught up in the emotion straight after that match. The fact that we've lost a very vital game, he doesn't feel that the atmosphere helped the team. I don't think myself that the atmosphere in that game was particularly negative. I don't think people were leaving in droves until the third goal went in, which was well into injury time. But it sort of just summed up the. That it was so important, and I think the main thing now is that we've got to go forward, and literally got to go forward. We've got to start taking some points.
I mean, it's not hypercritical at present because of the sign. I think most folk are actually saying that really the 40-point margin, you don't need to worry too much about that. You're looking at getting to maybe even 34, 36. But it's just, folk are sort of looking around. I was speaking to a Hull City supporter yesterday who maintained that, oh, yes, I think Middlesbrough could well, sort of the smoggies could be going. I thought, I very nearly wanted to actually sort of, whack him on. he's back.
No.
Sort of, by example, no, don't go into that sort of thing. Because on the plus side, yes, some interesting changes. The return, of course, of Patrick Bamford.
Yeah. And hopefully... Well, he looked really good in those few minutes that he came on, but he needs time on the pitch.
Better than Jordan, do you think? Who nobody seems to want?
I feel immensely disappointed for Jordan Rhodes, and I look at situations. The one player that was outstanding against West Ham was Traore, and he was pulling the ball back across the box, and if as a supporter, I could see exactly what he's going to do. Surely the centre forward should as well, really, and I feel that Jordan Rhodes is the sort of forward that would gamble and get into that area. However, if the manager doesn't feel he's the right player for the style of the team, then so be it. He is the manager. He has got us. He is right to say that we were 7 years out of the top flight. He got us back in playing his way, and he has a plan to keep us in the Premier League. And again, he is absolutely right. That is. Nothing else matters really, apart from staying in the Premier League this season, and then we build from this. We talked about Watford, how they built sort of a dynasty as a family club, and you have to start somewhere. And we're starting something afresh here, and trying to build a really good base, and that means finishing fourth from bottom or fifth from bottom. But yeah, the pressure is on a bit. Those two managers at Swansea and Hull seem to have sparked a little bit of revival. I would just be concerned for Hull that they are leaking and losing all their best players.
Yes, Mr. Snodgrass has actually said, I'm going to go to West Ham now, basically. I wonder if he's going to be as successful there as the French chap who decided after a season. He sort of said he's hated enough. Looking at initial signings, of course, a couple of items of news which I came across, that Middlesbrough hoping to conclude a deal to sign former Real Madrid attacker Jesse Rodriguez, as opposed to Jesse, I presume. It's Jesse Rodriguez, on loan from Paris Saint-Germain. And Middlesbrough loan goalkeeper Joe Fryer is going to Hartlepool.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, an interesting line for that. Nsue, off to Birmingham?
Yes, that's right. I feel a bit disappointed for him as well, actually, because each time there was a challenge laid down to him, he matched it. He was one of the stars of last season's promotion. And, yeah. We all thank him for what he did. He was a really good player and quite fundamental. Him going down the right, George Friend going down the left. So everyone will thank him for what he did, and I'm sure he'll make a big impact at Birmingham City.
Derby, of course, you mentioned Steve McLaren. Not only have they been Nugent, but also Desart.
Yes, Desart playing there on loan. I think he'll have benefited enormously for 6 months of coaching at Middlesbrough, because you buy a player, then you want to coach them in his style. And now he'll get a lot of experience at Derby. I think he started well initially in his first game. It's a difficult club. They're always aspiring to things that they don't quite reach often, Derby. But I think it's perfect for Desart. He'll come back next season and challenge for a midfield position at Middlesbrough.
When we did our third round FA Cup special, obviously with Tony McDonough. Sorry, Tony, but we knew it wasn't going to be a draw. I mean, it's from that sort of perspective. Plus comedy goalkeeping and so on, but it was nice to see that at least goals were going in from that perspective. And it seems as though, although admittedly I say there was one classic comedy moment, the goals are pretty much a good standard.
Yeah.
Is there any such thing as a bad standard goal? That begs the question. Stuart Downing,
Yeah.
Sad, never. I mean, they do say, they, of course, being whoever they are, you should never go,
never
back.
Go back.
He's never really kind of quite reached the heights that I think either he would have wanted to, or indeed Aitor Karanka would have looked to have.
No, I thought at the start of this season that he showed his Premier experience and he helped settle us into the. Cast your mind back to the first month or so. We did make a steady start, didn't we, in the league? Drawing rather than winning, that was the main problem at that point. And Stewie Downing really did help us settle in. It's difficult to say at this point, just a couple of days before the window closes, as to what the future holds. But I certainly would like to hold on to him. I think even when he plays on the, he comes on as substitute on the left, and he settles in behind George Friend. He allows George Friend to go forward, knowing that there's a player behind him that's not going to lose the ball, that's going to feed him the passes, etc. But I hope he's still got a role to play, because I do think a player of his experience, of his international class, is, and the fact that he's from Middlesbrough, all those things are going to count for a lot in a time that we're going to need. Well. The pressure's going to build, isn't it, towards the end of the season?
After the hopeful passage into the fifth round of the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Emirates.
Oh, well, that's true.
Exactly after that. It's a match against West Brom.
Yeah.
Which is not going to be easy, given Tony Pulis's approach and life and various other bits and pieces.
No.
Tony Pulis's life has got anything to do with the whole thing. It's going to be a challenging thing. But then Tottenham and Everton. Now, clearly, on one side, yep, I'm saying you really should beat Tottenham, because that would be very important. Everton, of course, as they showed against the side from the Etihad, can suddenly, you know, strike all sorts of marvellous things, and what Ronald Koeman actually has there. Interesting batch of three for the next nine potential points in February.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, West Brom's difficult as well, because it's a midweek game. We're playing Tottenham and Everton just as we did earlier in the season, just as they're hitting form again. I think Everton were second in the league when we played them last time, and Tottenham were second as well. But Tottenham have been playing a lot of clubs off the park of late, which will be tricky. But
obviously helped in a recent match by actually having a referee who couldn't actually see a penalty. It was quite clearly a penalty. Sterling was actually pushed to the back. Or maybe it's a different law these days. I don't know.
Maybe.
Bitter? No, no.
Just
let it go. We're going to talk more about Barry's development in the second stage of the season, the second part of the programme as well, as giving some time to that side that used to obviously be synonymous with Ian Rush and Milk commercials after this.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
Here are some handy tips and information regarding your hospital bedside TV, radio and phone service. TV channels 1 to 5 are free to use at certain times every day, so check your screen for details. To help you keep in touch with friends and loved ones, outgoing calls are also free all day, every day, to landline numbers that begin with 01, 02 or 03. Radio channels can be listened to absolutely free at any time of day. If you fancy a film, we have over 80 great films to choose from, to suit all ages and all film tastes. Why not check out the free film trailers and see if there's anything you fancy? If the latest blockbuster film isn't your thing, then how about one of our classic films, such as The Great Escape, Rain Man, or Some Like It Hot?
250?
250?
Yeah.
You're crazy. You ought to be locked up. You too. 250 guys just walking down the road just like that.
Of course, I'm an excellent driver.
You know how to drive?
Yeah.
Right, man. You never touch the steering wheel when I'm driving. Do you hear me?
Of course, I don't have my underwear.
To find out more about bedside entertainment services and find a bundle to suit your needs, just pick up the bedside phone and speak to the friendly Hospedia customer care team. They'll help you find the best deal. And remember, To contact Hospital Radio, just pick up the phone and dial star.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium.
Hang on. Slow down. One tablespoon.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if you would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
A premier fan podcast for a premier team. You're listening to Fly Me to the Moon.
Hi, this is Bernie Slaven, and you're listening to Rob Nichols on Fly Me to the Moon.
Thank you, Bernie.
So, tomorrow, Stewart Park, that's assuming you're listening to this on a Friday, via podcast or other sort of means, what's happening in Stewart Park, which entails a Member of Parliament and yourself, Rob?
Yeah. Yes, 8:30 a.m. in the morning. It's quite early, earlier than the park's normally up, maybe. Before the park run, there's going to be a defibrillator. It's going to be unveiled for everyone using the park. And it's been a goal that was achieved in a month, just a month, by a public fundraising from Swifties Community Running Club, who are based at Hemlington, wanting to put a lifesaver into Stewart Park. And It quite incredible to raise that amount of money, helped by an awful lot of the public. Gary Gill from Middlesbrough Football Club donating a signed shirt, many businesses putting money into it, and working closely with the North East Ambulance Service. And now there will be training with Askham Bryan College, put forward by the North East Ambulance Service for up to 100 people, I think it is initially, to use the defibrillator and help revive people. And just a brilliant sort of thing for a community to get together and put this potential lifesaver into the park. And hopefully it's the start of several more that could be sighted throughout Middlesbrough, and that you know that you've got peace of mind, that you're safer in these public spaces.
Yes, the spirit of the Fly Me to the Moon podcast finds that very wonderful indeed. So, Accrington Stanley, currently below Hartlepool in the league position.
Right, really.
Currently, Accrington Stanley sit in 20th place in Division 2.
Mm.
However, the Accrington Stanley forward Sean McConville was actually voted the best goal of the FA Cup third round by the BBC sporting audience. And we might actually attempt to describe the Accrington Stanley goal of the third round by Sean McConville, if indeed our computer systems work. If it doesn't, of course, we'll just have to sort of wait for something else to actually transpire on that basis. And you can always look it up yourself, of course, because
yes.
you can do those sort of things. So, apart from Sean McConville, in theory, you're thinking Premiership side playing 20th in Division 2.
Yeah.
I'm saying it really should be 3-0. Jenny Finch, our ace writer and author, I think also endorsed that scoreline.
It should be 3-0.
At least.
Yes. But we have the warning there from only a few seasons ago when Tony Mowbray's team were defeated by Accrington Stanley, who were also... We were then in the Championship, but they were right near the bottom of the division at that time, as I recall, and they defeated us at home. So you must never sort of treat your opposition lightly. You must show full respect to them, or you get caught out. But
you're saying all the right things, Rob.
Yeah.
Fundamentally, there are lots of fans who actually say, "Right, it should be 8-0."
Well, it should be, shouldn't it? But that things never work out that way. We go there and treat them as if we were a Premier League team, but feel confident that we can dominate and win and get a passage into the fifth round. A good opportunity to see to get Patrick Bamford on the field from the start, perhaps, and get embedded into playing with a Newborough and making
it's
up for those 2 years.
Lots of changes since he was last with us.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. Where's Tomlin now? Getting back in. He was the man who provided all the passes for Patrick Bamford. But he was a phenomenal goal scorer, scoring 18 goals in that season with us. And for him and for us, things have his career's just stopped in the tracks, hasn't it, since then. He never actually started a game for Chelsea, which is...
And intriguing, I mean, clearly Mr. Conte is generally quite happy with what's going on at Chelsea, and why wouldn't he be, really? I think he's
absolutely
to address that. The sort of general description of this Accrington a stunning curling shot from Accrington Stanley's Sean McConville helped in their 2-1 win against Luton Town. So, I know, yes, they've beaten Luton Town, but again, in the spirit of things, it should really be a fairly sage continuation of, as we said, the march to the arch.
It's interesting that Accrington Stanley, a team with a great name and an amazing history, which Middlesbrough was almost paralleled in 86, because Accrington Stanley went out of the league, went out of business. Middlesbrough just managed to be saved at the 11th hour, but it was actually about 8 minutes to midnight in the... And we're going to see the goal.
We are actually. So we're just going to see a little trick. There's the shot.
Curling.
There's the corner.
Yes.
There it is from that sort of point of view. Great excitement.
Playing in red.
Playing in red, but again, I think fundamentally we're going to say it's because they'll be having a change trip from that sort of point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's one of the great things about the FA Cup. We saw in the last round Lincoln defeating Ipswich. It was a fantastic occasion, totally full. Sinsel Bank, one of the old names of football from the 19th century. Another old name, Accrington Stanley, which is very much sort of like a Victorian name, really. And this is what the FA Cup's all about, and really.
You've used at least five clichés in one sentence, which is fantastic. So I'm going to use another cliché, if I was given, I think, 50p for a number of times, we'll hear it over the FA Cup weekend. The FA Cup lost its magic?
You think it has, and then things happen, like Lincoln versus Ipswich, and you think that, and they just light up the season, really. And so many people will have watched that game and gone away thinking that, that was something special that we wouldn't see any other football. And people always say that giant killing can't happen, but we only need to look back a couple of seasons and remember when Bradford City beat Chelsea on an afternoon where Middlesbrough defeated the Premier League champions Manchester City. Do you recall that?
Listen, I was trying to put that in the same package as I've actually put the FA Cup final, which had a team called Wigan in, actually, which was another sort of scenario, and what became Roberto Mancini's last scenario.
These things still happen.
And I suppose you could say it's a form of magic if you're not supporting the side that's actually the victim. That's the important thing. So there we are. This has been a March to the Arch special as far as the Fly Me to the Moon package is actually concerned. We're back with our usual league program very, very shortly. And people can purchase, of course, the Fly Me to the Moon magazine. How can they do that, Rob Nichols?
Yeah, good thinking. Yeah. You can subscribe for the last five issues of the season, which are January to May, because we're still in January, are we not? If you go to their website, fmttm.com, and click on subscribe, or write email, robshrug@gmail.com, or write to me at Fly Me to the Moon, Unit 7, Brentnell Centre, Jilk Street, Middlesbrough, TS1, 5AP.
And the final words that we say, of course, are 1, 2, 3.
Up the Borough, and come on, Borough.
Come on, Borough, and up the Borough. 7 simple words, a lifetime of entertainment.